This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful day it is to be together in this time of worship, and it's my joy to welcome you. Whether you're worshiping with us online or here in the sanctuary, I'm so glad to see you and worship with you. I invite you to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you will sign in and pass it on down the row, that would be great. If you're visiting with us and would like to know a little bit more about our congregation and the ways we're trying to live out God's love in the world, I would invite you to share an email address or a phone number or a mailing address and let us reach out to you and begin that conversation. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser to register that way. If you have been visiting with us for a while and are praying about perhaps becoming officially a member, good news, there is a new member class starting today downstairs in McWhorter Hall at 9:45. It's a 4-week class, and we invite you to join others in that session. Tonight, there is another gathering for folks who are reading the Bible together this year. Even if you're not reading through the whole Bible, but you'd like to come and talk about the four Gospels and the book of Acts, come on downstairs at 5 o'clock. It is a potluck, and the church is providing meat. So if you have not yet RSVP'd, you might want to bring an extra dish or a little bit more to eat, or you can show up at 5:30 and just be there for the Bible study, but we hope you'll join us. I will also be offering a Zoom option Monday at noon for that study, so just send me an email if you'd like to be part of that. Next Sunday, we have a couple of special events. There's a town hall meeting upstairs in the Fourth Story Theater at 9:45, and a blessing of the animals at 3 p.m. next Sunday afternoon. There's information in your bulletin about some upcoming parent workshops having to do with children and teenagers and technology, and I invite any parents who are interested, which I think most of us are, in learning more about that, to read about that and plan to join us. And then finally, just a reminder to mark your calendars for October 15th, the 150th birthday of our congregation. It's going to be a day full of worship and celebration, and we hope that everyone will be there and invite your friends and neighbors to come and celebrate with us. This morning, we are in the book of Acts together, and we're going to be hearing about a less-known character in the book of Acts, whom I like to call one of the best supporting actors. His name is Barnabas. So let us gather around the stories of Barnabas, gather around the Spirit of our Lord as we worship together today.
Thank you. please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletins. We gather here today as one people. May we rejoice with God's abundant grace.
Let us rejoice and worship.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. God of all people, we confess that our hearts can be selfish. Our perspectives are too small. We tend to judge those who are not like us. Those with a different status, those with different opinions, those with different backgrounds. We forget that all people are your beloved. Forgive us for the many ways we have failed to be a people known by love. Lead us to a grace that is given without condition. Teach us to be an accepting people who continuously welcome with love. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Emily and Mike Schley bring their daughter before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Emily and Mike, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do. I believe she can answer these questions for herself. You can join in the answers. Emily and Mike, will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will.
We will.
And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth life. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. And what name have you given your daughter?
Rosalind Jean.
I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeemed you, and the Holy Spirit who dwells within you and will be your comforter and friend all the days of your life. Amen. Okay, Miss Rosalind, we're going to come over here so Mom and Dad can place a hand on you and we can pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Rosalind Jean, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, now Miss Rosalind goes by Rosie. So Rosie and I are going to take a little walk here, very carefully, going down the steps, so that we can get a little bit closer to your church family. Look at all of these beautiful people, and they are looking at you with love and hope. And they are about to make a promise to you, Rosie, that they're going to help you grow up in the faith. We're going to hear about someone today in the sermon who was an encourager. And these friends are going to encourage you in your faith. Some of them may teach you Sunday school or vacation Bible school or choir directors. They're just going to love you into life. So let's listen as they make their promises to you.
Will the congregation please rise and face Rosalind Jean and join me in the commendation and welcome found in your bulletins. Members of the household of God, I commend Rosalind Jean to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Rosalind Jean, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join with me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, beginning with the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, and they spoke the word to no one except Jews. But among them were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists also, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number became believers and turned to the Lord. The news of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for an entire year they associated with the church and taught a great many people, and it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. And then from the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the ruler, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Any children who are here to come and join me up front. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens. We're going to have a little fun this morning. Good morning, good morning. Good to see everybody.
Hi, Wesley. How are you this morning?
Good. Come on up and have a seat.
Hi, Meg.
Good to see you this morning. Good morning. Oh, my goodness, we have another big group today. So glad to see all of you. Welcome, welcome. Anybody know what these are? Pom-poms, that's right. And why do we use pom-poms? We use them, yeah.
For parades
and games and races. And this is what we do when we want to cheer, when we want to cheer somebody on. So I might bring these to the next football game I go to and say, "Go team, yay!" I want to encourage the players to play as well as they can. This morning, Mr. Brandt read a story for us about a man named Barnabas. And one of his gifts that God gave him was that he was really good at encouraging people, of cheering people on, of helping them know that they were loved by God and God had given them special gifts, and to do what they could to spread the love of Jesus in the world. And I'm just so grateful for Barnabas and for people like that who come into my life and say, "Carol, you can do it. Carol, God believes in you and I believe in you. Let's go." So, next time you're feeling a little discouraged, remember Barnabas. And think about friends and parents and teachers in your life who think you're just awesome because you are. And imagine all of them waving pom-poms and saying, "Go, you can do it. We believe in you." Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for people like Barnabas in the Bible who are so good at encouraging and cheering people on. Help us to be encouraging to other people too, to help them feel good about themselves. And we thank you for all the people in our lives who tell us we can do it and who believe in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go to children's church. Ah! I will not be doing a herky, however. Would never recover. I was surprised, by the way, no one said war eagle. I borrowed those from Amy Baxter. I'm non-denominational when it comes to SEC football. Just ACC basketball is another thing, but anyway. Our son, Tate, many of you know, is a senior at Furman this year. We came to West End when he was a sophomore in high school, and he was always very involved in youth ministry. He loved the youth group at this church and in our previous church. And there were all sorts of experiences and camps and trips that he had that really made an impact on his faith, on his understanding of who he was and who God is. One of those was Wilderness Trail, which he did here at West End. So if any of you have children in the youth group or thinking about maybe doing Wilderness Trail next summer, thumbs up. It's an amazing experience. Another experience he had was at our former church. He had an opportunity twice to go to a place called Camp Barnabas. Anybody heard of Camp Barnabas? It's a camp in Missouri that is specifically designed as a summer camp for children and young adults with special needs. So they might have a week for kids who are on the autism spectrum, or a week for kids who are blind or have sight impairment. The times that he got to go, it was a more general group. When a youth becomes 16, he or she is able to pair up with a camper, and that was Tate's job. He was paired up with his first year with a young man named Matt, who used a wheelchair, who was nonverbal. Tate said he was very smart, good sense of humor, and he communicated with gestures and things. But it was Tate's responsibility as that young man's partner for the week for 23 out of 24 hours to be with Matt and to make sure Matt was having the best camp experience he could have, which meant getting Matt to the basketball court or down to the swimming pool or whatever it might be. And it was hard. 23 out of 24 hours. And there were times in the dorms at night when one of the other kids might have trouble in the middle of the night, and so all the other counselors would help and pitch in, and it was exhausting in many ways. One of my favorite pictures from that week, because the camp would send the parents pictures throughout the week, was at the arrival moment when all the campers arrive at the camp. And you're supposed to, as a volunteer, just be cheering and saying the campers' names and just help them feel so glad that they're there and that you're happy to see them. And when your camper arrives, you're supposed to go all out. And if any of you know Tate, he can go all out with enthusiasm. So there is a picture of Matt arriving at the camp and Tate going, "Yeah!" And it's just warmed my heart to see that picture. When I went to pick him up at the end of the week, he came off the bus and just gave me a bear hug, and he said, "That was the best week of my life." Now again, Tate says that was the best a lot. He has a wonderful attitude, but he meant it in a deeper way. It was the hardest week of his life and the best week of his life. Because, he said, it got him out of himself. He was so focused on Matt. And his purpose was to help Matt have a good week at camp. And somehow it was a life-giving, life-changing experience for Tate as well. Back then, I didn't think much about the name of the camp. I knew about Barnabas in the book of Acts, but I just didn't think about the story of Barnabas connecting with the mission of that camp. But as I read through the book of Acts again this year, and I thought about all of the players in the early church, Peter and Philip and John and James, the brother of Jesus, and of course, the Apostle Paul, it was Barnabas who drew my attention this year. Barnabas, you see, was not a headliner in the book of Acts. He is, at best, a supporting actor. If you're reading through the book of Acts this week, you might have kind of not even noticed him. His name comes up a few times, but by midway through the book, he's not in the story anymore. But I wanted this morning to lift up Barnabas and the ministry of encouragement that he embodies, that he is willing to support and encourage others. It's not about Barnabas. It's about the mission of the gospel and doing everything he can to encourage those who are new in the faith and those who are in ministry in the faith. So let me tell you a little bit of Barnabas' story in case you haven't read it or you skipped over it or you've never heard of him before. The first time we see Barnabas is in the fourth chapter of Acts, in the very early days of the church in Jerusalem. We learn that his name was actually Joseph. He was a Jew born on the island of Cyprus. He ends up somehow living in Jerusalem, and he sells a field and brings the proceeds to lay at the apostles' feet. That was the model of the very earliest church. Those who became part of the church sold their possessions and put them into a pool together to redistribute so that there would be no one in need in the community. And Barnabas jumps right in and does that. We know that the apostles are the ones who rename him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So already in the early days, he's earned a reputation for being someone who encourages others. That word literally means who comes alongside. So he comes alongside and encourages those in the faith. We don't see him again until the ninth chapter of Acts. And that's when the headliner arrives, Saul. You may know Saul's story. He was a highly educated Pharisee, a Roman citizen, and a persecutor of the church. He was very zealous to put an end to the Jesus movement. He was dragging, Acts is very clear to say several times, he dragged all Christians, women and men, into prison. It was his mission in life to squash the church. But, as you may know, one day, walking down the road to Damascus, he had a vision of the risen Christ who said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he was converted and became a believer in the risen Christ. And in Damascus, he began preaching about Jesus being the Son of God. And then he comes to Jerusalem, and that's where things get a little rough because the leaders of the church in Jerusalem know Saul's reputation. And they cannot believe that he has been converted. They can't believe that he has changed. I can't blame them. Why would you bring someone into your midst who's been dragging your friends and family into prison? It's got to be a trick. He's got to be a spy. And so they don't welcome him. But Barnabas does. Barnabas takes Saul in. And he must have spent time with him and heard his story and heard the story of his conversion, and he recognized the work of the Holy Spirit in Barnabas's life. In Saul's life. And so Barnabas brings Saul before the leaders of the Jerusalem church, and he tells Saul's story, and he tells them about his vision, and he tells them that he's been preaching the gospel of Jesus all through Damascus. And so because of Barnabas, the brothers in Jerusalem accept Saul as one of their own. So I have to wonder, if it hadn't been for Barnabas, would we have had Saul in the ministry that he was able to pursue? If it hadn't been for Barnabas, would we have all of these letters that the Apostle Paul wrote that are now part of our New Testament? If it hadn't been for Barnabas, would we be the church that we are today? I don't know. The next time we meet Barnabas, he's being sent by the leaders in Jerusalem to Antioch. Word has come back to Jerusalem that there have been people, both Jews and Gentiles, who've been converted to Christianity, who are filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a movement growing there. And so the church sends Barnabas to check it out, make sure that it's still in keeping with what we teach and preach. Make sure that you see the Holy Spirit at work. And so Barnabas goes, and sure enough, he rejoices at all that the Holy Spirit is doing, and he stays with them. And what does he do? He encourages them. He exhorts them and teaches them and cheers them on. And then at some point he realizes there's another set of gifts that is needed in this moment. And he thinks of Saul. And so he goes to Saul's hometown in Tarsus, and he goes and gets Saul and brings him to Antioch. And it's the ministry of Barnabas and Saul. And they stay there for over a year, and they teach and preach and encourage and guide. And then in time, the leaders of the Antioch church gather for prayer, and they hear the Holy Spirit saying, "Send Barnabas and Saul further north. It's time to spread the gospel further." And so they commission Barnabas and Saul and send them up. And their ministry goes to new areas. And somehow in the next few verses, before the next chapter begins, Barnabas and Saul become Paul and Barnabas. Luke mentions here that Saul is often called Paul. That's his Greek name. But suddenly it's not Barnabas and Saul. It's Paul and Barnabas. And from that moment on, it is Paul who's the headliner. Paul who's the primary leader and preacher. And somehow, I think Barnabas was okay with that. With that spirit of encouragement, with his ability to recognize the gifts that God had given to Paul. With his total dedication to the spread of the gospel, no matter what. I think Barnabas was okay with that. Now, Barnabas was not a doormat. He was not weak. There was a time later in their ministry when he stood up to Paul. They got into an argument about this young man named John Mark, who had traveled with them in some of these early days and at some point had gone home and left the mission. Barnabas and Paul were about to go off on another mission, and Paul said, "We're not bringing John Mark. He's a quitter." That's not what it says in the Bible, but you know what I mean. He left us last time, but Barnabas stands up for John Mark and is willing to give him a second chance. He's willing to forgive John Mark, but Paul is not in that moment. And the division became so sharp, the text says, that they parted ways. Paul took Silas and went one way. Barnabas and John Mark went another way. Now, they didn't part with cursing. We find out later in some of the letters of Paul that they are still connected. They still encourage each other and see each other. They were just called in different directions for different reasons. I think we could learn a thing or two about that. And I have to wonder if some of that was due to the spirit of Barnabas. But after that, Barnabas kind of disappears from the pages of the book of Acts. But his ministry is an inspiration. Inspires me to think about those in my life who've been encouragers to me. And so I want to invite you to take a minute and think of someone in your life who came alongside you in a season of life. Maybe it was a teacher, a coach, a friend, a parent, an uncle, a grandmother, and walked with you to encourage you in your faith. To encourage you in your ministry, who saw God's gift in you, maybe when no one else did. And if that person is still around, take a few minutes this week and write them a note and say thank you. And think about how your life might have been different if they hadn't come alongside you for a season. The example of Barnabas encourages me and encourages all of us to be encouragers. To participate in the ministry of encouragement within the church and beyond the church. To recognize the gifts that God has given to others and highlight them and cheer them on. It's so easy in our day to be a critic. To just look at another person or at things that are happening and know what's going wrong. And to criticize. So this is an invitation to me and to all of us when we recognize that critical spirit coming up within us to set it aside and ask, how might I instead encourage and cheer on? For the sake of the ministry, for the sake of the well-being of the other, and for the sake of the love and unconditional grace of Jesus Christ growing in another person and growing in the world. Yeah, Tate came home from that week at Camp Barnabas and said, "That was the best week of my life." It reminds me of what Jesus said, "Those who give their life away will find it." Barnabas willingly gave his life, gave his possessions, gave his encouragement, gave his ego away. And because of him, the message of Jesus Christ spread further than any could have expected or dreamed. Thanks be to God.
As we respond to God's word, I invite you to stand as we affirm our faith by the affirmation of faith that is found in your bulletin or on page 883 in your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, there's a gray card in the pew racks in front of you, or if you are watching online and throughout the week, you can click on Contact Us and leave us a prayer request. I want to point your attention to the prayer list in the bulletin today. Please keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for God's presence in each situation. We want to extend our sympathies to the family of Richard Stewart and Mildred Tilley in the death of Richard's mother, Mary Ellen Stewart, who passed away in Atlanta, Georgia at the age of 92. And we also want to recognize the flower on the table today as we celebrate the birth of Layla Maeve Adams, who was born on September 7th to Blake Adams and Jessica Lawson Adams. She's also welcomed by her siblings, Jolene and Archie Adams. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Lord, today we acknowledge your greatness. Even before we were a glimmer in our parents' eyes, you knew us. Our strengths, our weaknesses, the things that would get us out of bed each day and the things that would threaten to keep us stagnant. For this, Lord, we stand in awe of you, in awe of the grace with which you deal with us and the love that pours over us unconditionally. Lord, today we come with thanks in our hearts, thanks for who you are and all you have done. We give thanks that you have called us to be a part of fulfilling your mission of restoring our world and of restoring lives. You have shown us how to live each day with you and others at the forefront of our hearts and minds. And today we draw strength from gathering together and remembering those truths. Lord, may we be stronger as we leave this place today. Strength that is found in purpose. Strength that is found when our hearts are filled with your love. Strength that gives itself away in order to be filled. As we thank you today, we offer ourselves to you. All of the parts of our lives that keep us awake at night, as well as those things that help us sleep soundly, we trust you today, Lord, as we open our hearts to you in word and in silence. We thank you that you call us to trust and that you prove day in and day out that placing our trust in you is sound and faithful. And God, it is with that trust that we now pray in unity the words you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Today we have a special opportunity to hear about ministry that we as a congregation can continue to support. Please welcome Reverend Amy Baxter and Tatum Earp as they share with us about local campus ministry.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. We'll get it there. Good morning. I am so thrilled to stand up here as your pastor of young adults at West End and also as the campus minister at Vandy Wesley, because I am a product of campus ministry at Auburn Wesley Foundation. There's your chance to say War Eagle if you're out there. Just so thrilled. No? Somebody said no. Maybe not after yesterday, even the Auburn fans. But anyway, I had such an awesome experience in my campus ministry time. It's where my calling was realized and cultivated. It resulted in lifetime friendships and relationships, and one that even ended in marriage. So it has just been such a big part of my life. So this is a really fun full circle moment for me. One of the things that I love so much with my experience in campus ministry is that we were student-led. And so I am thrilled that at Vandy Wesley, we operate under that same model. And so today, I want to introduce you to Tatum Earp. Wave for the crowd. Tatum is our co-chair at Vandy Wesley. She's also an active participant here at West End. If you've been at the 11 o'clock service, you've probably seen Tatum up in the choir. She dabbles in all kinds of things. So Tatum, take it away.
Hi, my name is Tatum. I'm a senior at Vanderbilt this year. I've been involved in Vandy Wesley since my sophomore year. And one of the reasons that I really love it is it's really an open space for students to explore their faith. A lot of religious spaces on campus come with lots of expectations and to-do lists to check off. And Vandy Wesley is a really special space where I've been able to explore my faith. And students just gather in a space of rest and comfort. And it's been really transformational for me. So thank you for your support.
If you'd like to continue to support Vandy Wesley, this month's communion offering has been for campus ministries in our area. So actually, your donations go to Vandy Wesley, TSU, Belmont, and Fisk. So give generously. And if you'd like to give today here in person, you can just write a check and fill out in the memo line either campus ministries or communion offering. Or if you want to go online, you can designate that with those same distinctions. But we appreciate your support, and thank you for listening.
Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give you the options listed on the screen, while here in the sanctuary we'll pass plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us.
Goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. Victory is ours through him who loved us.
Who dare
As we go out into the world, may we be of good courage. May this time together in worship have been a time of encouragement to your spirit, that you may go forth to participate in the ministry of encouragement for the sake of the gospel and for the good of the world. Amen.